she loved me. She wasn't gonna kiss me, and she's gonna love me. But time I'm going home, I left my baby all alone, and I didn't do you wrong. So you ain't gonna weep and moan. So you ain't gonna weep and moan. Oh, yeah. Gonna love me but time I'm going home. Well, it won't be long. And when I get home, well, you ain't gonna weep and moan. Well, you ain't gonna weep and moan. I said you ain't gonna weep and moan.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Call Me Negotiator. This is an East Meets West conversation show where we explore how people navigate difference across nations, cultures, industries, and lived experience. All right. And when we talk about cross-cultural experience, we don't only mean where you're from, it also includes how you move through the world based on your role, background, or how others see you in everyday interactions. Through real conversations with our guests, we look at human interaction, power dynamics, and negotiation, not only in business, but in daily life, and how people learn to adapt, integrate, and advocate for themselves in complex environment. I'm your host, Charlotte. I studied law in China, later negotiation at Columbia University, and I'm currently working on research around AI assistant negotiation and human communication at the Ivy's Lab at SFU. I've lived across Asia, the Middle East, North America, and Europe, and traveled to over 70 countries. So for me, negotiation and cross-cultural adaptation are lived experiences, not abstract ideas. And you are listening to Call Me Negotiator every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time. You can tune in on CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain or join us live at cjsf.ca by clicking Listen Live. For our Chinese audience, you can also watch us while live streaming on WeChat video channel under 野蛮生长夏洛特 every Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. Beijing time. Today, I'm joined by Anthony Joseph, a council member of the Squamish Nation. He comes from an indigenous background and will be sharing his own stories and perspectives, including how his background shapes the way he navigates cross-cultural space. Let's get started. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Hi, Charlotte. Nice to meet you. I'm doing well. You?
Awesome. You look amazing today. I'm a little... I feel a little pity that our audience tuning in through our radio couldn't see you. Could you describe a little bit about your outfit?
Oh, for sure. So for those of you guys that are lucky enough to see me, you might be questioning a lot of what I'm wearing. So the way I think about it is it's connecting myself to previous generations, because many of our ancestors would wear this type of regalia. So for those of you that can't see me, I'm wearing a vest with paddles, and there's some special beads. They look like trader beads, and those are the beads that our indigenous people like to use in their regalia, because that's something that they would have gained through trade. So our people were known to trade resources. I know what I have here around my neck. I have these are African trader beads, and this is something a chief would wear. I was told. So to obtain this many beads was it's not easy. So it's to receive one was it's a special gift. I received this from my dear aunt Sialtanat, Auntie Joy, Joseph McCullough, and my uncle Daryl McCullough as a Christmas gift. What you see on my head, this is a headband. As a speaker in our people's ways of being, it helps me collect the thoughts, the right thoughts I need to share with everyone. And you may be wondering what this eagle headlet is. This is my family's chieftainship crest. It's a leadership as well. So you might have seen that in my drum.
Yeah, so you have a drum.
I brought a drum. So with this drum, I designed this. Oh, sorry, I'm trying to hold it upright. But yeah. So with this drum, I designed this eagle going around the bear. The bear is myself, because I come from the bear clan, from the Joseph family, and the eagle is our chieftainship crest for leadership. So when I play it, it's almost like my family is here with me, and they watch over me. My ancestors, they help guide me. When I have this necklace around, it's a protection to help me do the good work, especially when I'm representing our people in the best light possible. What I have around my waist is an apron. So we have, they're deer antlers, or deer hoofs, and there's beads. So when I walk, you'll hear that when I have the paddles going. And we also have woven leggings. I have, sorry.
Yeah.
So, well, hard to see, but.
Yeah, feel free to put it on the table.
So the weavings are such an essential piece of our regalia. It was, it helped our people with the cultural work. And these, a lot of you may question, how did they get all these weavings? It was from obtaining wool. So our people would make the wool from, and they wouldn't hunt the goat. They would collect the wool from wherever they could. So sometimes it would take years to gather enough wool to make a blanket or a tunic or a shawl. So to receive a blanket in ceremony was the highest honor. So to this day, we still give blankets as a form of thank you as well.
Oh, but, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, that was a beautiful description and explanation for us to understand your culture.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who couldn't see us visually, mm-hmm. then, yeah, like, please follow us. And we will post those clips on the different social media so you are able to see this beautiful outfit.
Mm-hmm.
However, before we get into your story, mm-hmm. I do recognize that you prepared to play with us, like play us the drum. Mm-hmm. And do you want to get started right now?
Sure,
yeah.
I'd love to. So I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself and before I share the song. So Hall Squile Tanoia, Isalea Queen Kushamein, Anthony Joseph Quiensna, Tanachantla, Statmes Hohomeo, Nata Motaweva Kohomeo, Skohot Moshof, Chenquim and Tomi up, Ailton Sequeto, Chenquim and Tomi, Chenwa Weltest, Chenwa Tsautsauch, E Hochels, Charlotte, Fla Weltest, to Ankach Stomoch Titsits. So I just wanted to raise my hands to each and every one of you guys that is either online or watching. It's an honor to be here today. Anthony Joseph is my English name, but Isalea is my Kwashamin. I share that with my younger brother Russell and my cousin Nigel from my Namath family in Nanaimo. I was blessed to grow up in Stotmas Reserve, which is right at the entrance of Squamish. So, and I now reside on the other side of town in Wewakum Reserve, also known as Brackendale Reserve. I grew up there, and song I wanted to sing is a song of gratitude. This song comes from our Sequoia, late Aunt Sally. She was one of our last elders that lived in the village we know as Huai Huai in Stanley Park. It's known as the greeting of the day. She would sing the song in gratitude for all that she had in her life. And she was just so thankful. So it was a way of saying thank you to all that she had. And just, today we practice this song. It's a song of blessing. So may you guys all be blessed after it's a song of starting things off in a good way. So we'll start.
All right, let's get started. I'm excited.
Jo Atnos Chan. Oh, Whoa, hey, oh, oh, whoa. Thank you. That's I know my aunts and uncles, they would say, everyone go home now, but we want you guys to stay a little longer. So just wanted to share that for those that are listening and watching, this is played on a deer hide drum. I also brought my elk hide drum. They're two different drums, but different strengths. I always share that the deer takes a little warmer to warm up. That's why you might see some of us drummers and singers holding our drums to our chest. And the elk, once it's, you can play it whenever, it's good to go whenever. It's, so they're both, I like to use them both because it's said that when the drum's cracking, that it wants to be played. And I've been hearing this drum crack for a bit, so I wanted to save it for a special opportunity like today.
Yeah, yeah. So do you need to play them both now, or is just showcasing?
I interchange when the opportunities for singing, so
right.
I love it. Yeah.
Right. But I really appreciate it to show us this indigenous culture, right?
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. I appreciate you having... offer the opportunity to share who I am and this piece, making that space, right? But also building relations. I appreciate that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think from our live streaming, our Chinese audiences are very supportive. They're very curious about this. But at the same time, they're guessing while you're playing. Mm-hmm. I was also guessing because I remember that you said it's to show the gratefulness, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. That's a good point, Charlotte. So a lot of times when we sing, I was sharing with some of the fellow DJs here at the, it was that we have songs for different purposes. So that song I shared was like a blessing song, and it kind of like set the tone. It was a good way to start the day or whatnot. And some of our songs are a song of medicine. Some of our songs are songs for like intended purposes, like pole raising, right? Or there's songs of to help give strength for our families when they need them. So it's I always share with the youth that when we use this this tool, we call it a manatsa.
Mm-hmm.
A manatsa is how we say drum in Squamish Nation, which is the Squamish language. So I always share with the youth that when we use these manatsa, it's a form of protection to protect us. It's a form of medicine, to provide medicine for others that need it. So a lot of times we'll sing for community, for families that may need it, and we also provide medicine for ourselves when we sing too. So I share that with the youth. So it's a medicine for me to see the youth step into that role to be those leaders, because then I know our culture will carry on in a good way, because they recognize that importance as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm also like, I would consider myself still new to Canada. So when I arrived here, I realized that the indigenous culture is a big one. No matter if it's in our studio, CJSF, who really represent the people who are underrepresented, right? Mm-hmm. And also for... Even at SFU, they always trying to give them some special space to show the culture. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, you come from this indigenous background, and how has that shaped the way you see the world? And especially when you interacting with people from very different cultures, right? That must be a little challenging.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Charlotte, because I find that it hasn't always been open doors and it hasn't always been roses for our people. I remember as a youth that drumming and singing was something that was prevalent in my household a lot. My dad and my uncles, they would sing a lot. So that was something that just seemed second nature, but it was a strength. I found that It was disheartening sometimes because I had to cut ties with people I thought were my friends, and you know, they were mimicking or mocking the songs, and I had to call them out for that. And I didn't appreciate that, and I was like, my friends would never do that. But being active in culture, it really helped me be more resilient as a person, as a leader, standing up for not only people in my community, but people I didn't agree with. I never really agreed with bullying, and it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that's still an issue that our people still deal with, but it's come a long ways. I think by being active in community and culture, it really helps me find new gifts, but nurture gifts, such as I love to do artwork, as you can see in my trunk. But I also love to do other cultural pieces like wool weaving and cedar weaving. That was something I would say it was capacity building when I joined the education team 15 years ago. My aunt, she wanted to teach us that. So I think that really it really shaped how I see the world through an indigenous lens. It hasn't always been easy. I know our people, we didn't have basic human rights until the 50s. And for our people to potlatch, to talk about potlatch at one point, you would get sent to jail for 6 months. To practice culture, you would get sent to automatically go to jail just to practice who we were. Something I learned was that our shakers, those that were they would practice our songs after the priest would leave, and sometimes they would have a ceremony in the rainiest of days. It showed the strength. Our people were strong people. We come from strong people, and I'm thankful for that because without them, I wouldn't be here. And I think it's uplifting to see how many amazing Indigenous scholars, but also mentors and leaders I've crossed paths with in many communities. Like I was just sharing how I was up in Haida Gwaii, sharing songs with Jenny Collison and Ed Jensen, who are representatives of the Haida Gwaii community in Skidigit and also Sopwamic territory in the interior. So it was really cool because we got to share two or three songs each, and we would just keep cycling and until we were spent. I think it's like it's so uplifting to share who we are with others, and it's that medicine of hearing songs as well, right? So it was like, for me, I being active and also part of when I joined the education team was I joined our dance group, Weltema Kohosum, which was named by our chief, Sukyo Siam, Chief Ian Campbell, which means culture bringing people together. My aunt said, if you're going to join our education team, you have to join our dance group. And I was all for that. I love drumming and singing, and I was like, I actually miss it. I'd be honored to do that. And so honored to see all the youth that have we mentored through that program who have been resilient leaders and are amazing leaders in their own right. And whatever, where I actually am on council with one of the youth I started working with, and it's just uplifting for me knowing that our communities in good hands, because it's that trickle effect, right? So right. I think that really helped. So being active in culture is and seeing, I know a term I think about a lot is something that my dear friend Chartanat shares, is that we have to learn to and my auntie Sialtanat as well, Joy Joseph McCullough, is that we learn to walk with a feather in one hand and a pen in the other to be successful, to walk in two worlds. I think it's showing the way for our youth. For me, that's helped shape who I am, because I want to inspire more of our people to do the same. to know that they're capable and they're worthy.
I mean, I really agree with that challenge you mentioned. It is like some people will say, hey, those are the people who are minorities, and then they have a lot of privileged thing, right? Like we offer them a lot of special tunnel to get something. Like we have special office at SFU for indigenous people. However, they people don't understand that, because the challenge those minorities people or the culture who are not too well known, they're getting those privileged rules is because they have been encounter or facing so many or so much more than others. And that is the reason why we actually need to do more to encourage the people to know and get to know cross-culturally about what other people have been doing. And you don't have to really loving it, but be open to embrace what happens, right? And the resilience you also mentioned is like, as people who keep moving to different world, different countries, like a lot of, for example, Chinese immigrants or people who just visit somewhere out of China for the first time, we all encounter challenges. It's not just that beautiful, right? But because of that, it shaped our resilience. I want to get to something more specific. Could you share a moment when you felt you were navigating two or more different worlds at the same time? And what have those experiences taught you about navigating power and everyday interaction, especially from your special background and culture?
I thank you, Charlotte. That's a good point. I know a lot of times when I perform and such, I would share with our teachers, involved with education for 15 years, I would spend time and share about our history. And it was funny because a lot of teachers would assume that I didn't know as much as I did, and it was like culture or story work. Something I think about a lot is that our indigenous people aren't linear, like a timeline base. We're a place-based people. And I think that's what makes it so special, is that when we go to certain areas, you might see a story work in a certain area because it's a culturally significant space. And maybe there's a song that's tied to that area or story work. There's so much of our story work that shapes who we are, and there's teachings. I was told that it's by my colleague Char that it's like if you were to say the morals were of the story, you're almost like taking someone's mind. Like I think it was an elder that shared with her. It's like you take someone's mind away because you're not allowing them to take what they need from that story. And I used to wonder about that too, because my